Welcome to the 30th episode of A Change is a Chance. My name is Ryan Lowe, and my goal is to educate listeners, especially young ones, on the issues in this world by interviewing different experts who can lead us into the charge for change. 30 episodes ago, I was a young sixth grader, curious about the world, yet discouraged by the lack of youth leaders, thinking, how could someone like me, someone as young as me, make a real difference in this world? And I know that there are so many passionate youth out there who feel the same way. The purpose of this podcast has always been to educate and inspire people, especially those curious kids. So I think it's time to bring this mission and the idea of youth activism to the forefront. So today, we have an incredible person in her last year of high school who has already achieved so much, from writing as a journalist to interning at Harvard Chan's Global Climate Summit for Youth, a program that I attended this summer and had the honor of meeting her and many others. You see, she bears the uncommon perspective of a youth and an activist, so I'm really honored to introduce Ella Niederhellman as my guest for the special 30th episode. So how are you doing today, Ella?
I'm great. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing good. It's school's back in session. Everything's normal again. So, Yeah. Okay, so Ella, what inspired you to become a youth activist, and how did you get started in this field?
So I have grown up in Ipswich, Massachusetts, which is a small town on the North Shore, and it is located right along the water. We have a lot of very vast ecosystems. So from marshes, which are labeled the Great Marsh of Critical Environmental Concern, we have a river, the Ipswich River, that was listed as one of the top 10 most endangered in the U.S. just a few years ago. We have sandbars and we have beaches galore. So I have seen, since I moved here at the age of 11, kind of these resources start to decline whenever a bad storm hit or we saw sea level rise. So I've definitely witnessed the impacts of climate firsthand on our community, even if it's not necessarily impacting safety just yet. I've seen the ecosystems themselves and the species within kind of start to decline. And that definitely inspired me to become involved. And with that, and also the start of COVID, when I began writing for our local newspaper, I started to kind of channel the two together and intertwine journalism at a local level. My town has about 14,000 people in it. So channeling that into environmental work was definitely a connection that I kind of stumbled into at first. I was not planning ever. I mean, my original interest in writing was to share kind of middle school annoyance with remote learning and what students' perspectives were on that. So when I went in an environmental lens, I wasn't expecting it, but I'm definitely happy that's something I fell into because I've seen so much change in my community result from that. And I've been able to intertwine the community aspect of journalism with this environmental activism.
Yeah, it's really great that you're able to connect those two things. But I have another question about that. How did you get that opportunity to start journalism?
So COVID hit, and I feel like any other eighth grader at the time, I was very bored. So instead of just kind of sitting and not realizing and not thinking of what I could do next, I emailed our local newspaper, which had started up a few months prior. It was pretty new. And I asked if they needed a student voice on the paper and what I could do to help provide a new perspective to my community, especially with a new startup like that. My newspaper that I write for is called the Ipswich Local News, and our distribution size has grown immensely since then to a couple surrounding towns as well. But it's a nonprofit newspaper, so that was definitely an aspect of, I think, that element of me being able to write for them since the eighth grade. And I hopped on when the team was about three people. I made it four. So I've seen immense growth in the newspaper and then myself as well because of the experiences that I've had with that program. Within, I started with an internship with them, and then it kind of started to go into more. And ever since, I've written about 400 pieces for the newspaper, and they have a wide range from court stories to an education-based pieces to community-based events to the ones I'm most passionate about, which are the environmental stories I mentioned prior. And with that, it was just that email that kind of started it all. And connections after that spiraled into me still being interested and me being where I am today.
Wow, that is some really amazing initiative. And I can bet you that most adults on the team now would not have expected an eighth grader to be one of the ones growing with the newspaper.
I know, it's been a really unique experience. I'm very lucky that my two bosses were so supportive and spent those hours behind the screen telling me how to use Oxford commas and all of that, so that I could kind of grow into the writer and communicator I am today. It definitely is intertwined into other elements of my life, like speaking and even just to writing emails or to holding conversations where I can ask effective questions. All that writing from such a young age and that experience interviewing has definitely shaped the person I am now.
Yeah. So you talked about the marsh earlier and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but can you share a specific moment, experience, or just general way of living that you've had to deal with that has had a profound impact on your decision to become an activist, especially in the journalism field?
So I guess I would say in Ipswich, there's definitely a large value placed upon our ecosystems, from adults to students. So ever since I was in sixth grade, I've been involved with our school's green team, which was the middle school initiative, basically like an environmental club, that has been nationally recognized for work within our garden, which is a community-based garden outside of our school. We are able to grow food, and we have rain barrels to supplement that. And it's called the Generation Growers Garden because it has the intent of involving others within the community to get involved. So ever since I've been early middle school, I've been involved with other students who have shared interests with me as me in this work. So seeing their investment in this also definitely inspired me to keep going with my involvement and to find my unique place within and how I could kind of make change. And I found that in writing once I stumbled into it at the newspaper.
And I bet that having all these amazing people around you has also really helped to foster your dedication.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, all my peers, it was a very large group, and now I'm the co-president of the high school version, our environmental club. And we have such a supporting community around it, from adults within the community to local businesses that want to support us. It has been really inspiring to be a part of something so big from such a young age. I mean, I go to a very small school. Our public school, my grade only has about 100 plus students in it. So to have like a 60 member green team or environmental club in my school, it shows the investment that students have within the cause, within our community. And I think a large part of that is because we've grown up with these adults and this value placed upon our ecosystems. There's so much protected land within borders. Crane Beach, which tends to be what people gravitate towards when they think of Ipswich or our clams. But that beach is all protected land from the trustees organization, the trustees of reservation. And then alongside that, we have a lot of marshland, like I mentioned earlier, that is of critical environmental concern. So that is all protected land. And we've grown up in a community that places such value upon that land and the resources it provides. So definitely being surrounded by other students that have that shared interest as me and those shared values has made me want to do even more with it and continue that to other communities as well.
And such a huge part of activism is and has always been working together. So it's really great that you were fostered in such a good community. And yeah. So how do you believe that other young activists from any age range can effectively engage with their communities and inspire positive change despite their age?
Well, from my perspective, I'm always going to tell people to go and tell their own story. But I understand that not every kid is a writer or wants to talk about themselves or where they come from or the values that they hold. So I guess I would say choose your interest and then find a way to kind of shape it into environmental work. So if you're interested in math, there's so much available for you to do in terms of testing and research centered around collecting research. Like we have a subset of people that will go out into our marshes each fall within our environmental club, and we will test for salinity, pH, accretion levels, and more. And then we will use that data and calculate how our marshes are keeping up with sea level rise. So there is so much there that students can pull from or find interest in if they're interested in the research or hands-on element of the field. And then if you're interested in the communications element, there's so much within journalism and telling your story to a community that will spark others' interest in it as well. And then if you're interested in holding connections with other people, there are so many local environmental groups. And if you don't have one locally, then there are so many regionally or beyond. A couple that I can mention are Sunrise Movement, which I was a part of briefly. And there are these regional conversations that my green team and environmental club has definitely worked to push forward, called the Climate Cafes, where we have intergenerational conversations with people that from our community that are interested in climate and environmental issues and solutions and want to learn more. So we gather people around a joint topic and we'll discuss about how they can get involved, what they can do, and we'll also educate. So having opportunities like that for intergenerational mixing, I think there's definitely the stigma around students need to be with students and adults need to be with adults. And there needs to be more working together, more cohesiveness within a community. And just that no change is going to happen beyond if that can't happen first. So I've seen that in Ipswich at a local level. And I definitely think that that is something that all towns should strive towards. And a lot of people are starting to jump on that bandwagon and try to communicate, a lot of youth especially. And I saw that at the summit where I met you. I remember I met you after giving a presentation to everybody about this topic and how I got involved locally. So many students came up to me and so many students were asking questions about how they could implement this locally. I think there's definitely just a bit of nerves surrounding, you know, presenting to a large community or people that you know. I think it's easier to give a presentation to people that you don't know and random people than to people that you're close with or your grade. So kind of combating those inner nerves or starting at a level where you don't know the person, then telling your story at that level is so impactful to inspiring other people who have connections to it. So I would say just tell your story. Someone is going to connect to it and someone is going to take inspiration from even a small, like slightest element of it and spin it into what they want to do. And it's kind of like a reaction chain, if you think about it. We've had so much positive work come out of the youth summits, which I've helped to work with Sea Change as a part of my internship. And that is just even more inspiring because we see the impact of a global program being brought back to local communities and that local work spiraling into something even bigger.
That is really great though. First of all, I want to say, I think it's really cool that like you already know all the intersections of environment and a passion, like in specifically your community. And second of all, I know this is a question that nobody has a perfect answer to, but how do you think that the youth, young people can find that passion that's going to go hand in hand with environment?
I feel like everybody would just say, get outside and walk around. But if you already have that kind of interest and love for the environment that surrounds you, or whether it be the species within your community or the ecosystems, I feel like just getting outside and having that experience, and then also just bring a friend or people to surround yourself with. I feel like talking to those that you might not necessarily want to bring up an environmental conversation or climate-based conversation with, they're often the ones that hold similar interests or values to you. You're more similar to people within your community than you think, because you've all grown up with something in common, especially other students. So finding shared interest, I guess, is my what I would tell people to kind of kickstart something, because then you can bounce ideas off of each other and you can apply that and just kind of start going to random places. Like, start, apply it in a mathematics field, apply it in a scientific field, apply it in a communications field, or go outside and start a garden. You know what I mean? Like, it can be advocacy based, it can be personal based, it can be whatever you want it to be, as long as you're doing something and you're always keeping your mind going as to what could be the next step. That's definitely benefited me and others that I know in terms of pushing their work forward and making a greater impact beyond their community once they've established that for themselves, is just always looking for the next step once you have all these connections and the space is laid. So for students, even at the beginning, just, you know, take a chance and write an email like I did, or pitch yourself, or just talk to others. So I guess I would say it all comes from talking and communicating with other people and then implementing what you want to do, even if it's not environmental related. I don't know if that answered your question, but it is a very hard question. It's something I struggled with prior. I mean, I didn't even know I wanted to become an environmental journalist or a climate journalist when I started writing for the Ipswich Local News 4 years ago. That's definitely something I just found. So sometimes that happens too.
Yeah, well, no, what you said makes a lot of sense. And I know I said there was no perfect answer, but that was pretty powerful.
Thank you.
So I think one of the greatest reasons why we don't have so many youth activists is discouraging, like, adults. So could you share some of the challenges you've encountered, particularly when it comes to adults doubting your abilities or discouraging you due to your age? And how did you handle these situations?
I definitely think that a lot of youth are impacted by adults kind of, I don't know, looking down on you or thinking that your opinion doesn't matter. You haven't had enough schooling, so you are not knowledgeable on the subject, or anything along those lines. I feel like everybody's experienced that, even if it's not in the field of environmental work. Like, I'm sure, have you experienced that at any point?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because it's discouraging that an adult who is someone that you should be looking up to is looking down on you. I think that no matter what, even if you haven't had the schooling or you don't have all of the knowledge, they can't invalidate your opinion and your story. That's something that you have and they can't look down upon, because it's happened to you. It's only happened to you. It's not reliant on how many years you went to college or what level or degree you have. You can still tell your story or your narrative, and that can hold so much weight, if not even more than the science and the data that would be influencing other people to act within climate. And I think that definitely just having conversations with them, the more that they, those discouraging adults, know about you and what you have looking towards the future, what your hopes and passions are, they're going to kind of open up and understand that there's more similarities than differences between what you're both working towards. The discouragement is definitely just, it's a roadblock that we don't have time for anymore. We need to battle the intergenerational divide. And I know a couple speakers at this year's summit were also talking about that. And we have such a wide range of voices coming to that. I mean, we have students in just graduating middle school to just graduating high school. And then we have speakers who are youth advocates all the way up to tenured professors at the Harvard School of Public Health. So having such a wide range and diverse range of voices is where you're going to see all that change made and all of those perspective shared, so that everybody else can learn from each other and learn from each other's mistakes. I think that people just need to open their eyes to, it doesn't come down to how much you know, it comes down to what's happened to you and what you have to share.
Yeah, each of our stories is so uniquely ours, and putting that together is just giving us more chances to cover more ground. I think that's what a lot of adults don't realize.
Definitely. I think a lot of adults also, I think youth are very unique in that we haven't really been hardened by life yet, at least most of us. try not to be. I mean, we're still in high school. We still have that element of, oh, what are we going to do today? There's more time for creative exploration and expression in terms of finding where you fit into the climate movement than adults have kind of found. I mean, they are older, they have more lived experience than that any youth would, but that doesn't invalidate anything that youth have to say. And mixing all of that together is where all the change and inspiration is going to happen at a community level and beyond.
Yeah. So, final question. What advice would you want to give to other younger individuals who are interested in getting involved in activism and making a difference in their communities?
I would say to tell your story and to always, always be looking for the next step. So if you're looking to truly make an impact at a local level, reach out to organizations, reach out to local peers, reach out to science teachers or English teachers, whatever you can do to get your foot in the door of sharing your voice and sharing your interest and finding like-minded individuals. So once you have a small group of like-minded individuals, you bounce ideas off of each other and you take where you want to see change and you try to apply it with the help of other local community members, businesses, organizations, everything. So it's definitely like a step-by-step process, and it might seem discouraging because it takes a lot of time, but most of the time there's something there for you already that you just may not be seeing. I'm sure other students have the same interest, the same passion, and binding that together is where you're able to definitely kind of make a statement and make a bolder statement. There's power in numbers, and channeling that at a local level is really impactful. And then after that, even if you haven't seen much change locally, you can totally push that regionally and have those discussions and talk to other people. And then to beyond. I mean, with my work at the paper, it all started with a persuasive email pitching myself. And then beyond that, when I realized my interest, I definitely just kind of, I don't know, I wrote another persuasive email and just pitched myself to the Sea Change team after being inspired by like-minded students at the summit, the first summit 3 years ago, when I was going into my sophomore year. So I definitely think the inspiration comes from others. So as much involvement you can get with others like you or others not like you, I mean, share your own stories and see the differences between them. I think that is definitely the inspiration you're going to get when you're pushing your own narrative and your own work forward, whatever interest you have. For me, it's communications and journalism, and I've been able to definitely get my foot in the door for that. But there are so many students that I meet that are interested in other aspects, and there are so, so many spaces to get involved with this, whether it's art or music. There's so much that people can do to get involved. I mean, with social media is this up and coming thing where so many people have this new platform to just share their mindset, and that goes way beyond local and regional connections. So I really think that it's very open up to students, to anybody who wants to get involved. And as long as you have some sort of interest in your life, there's always a way you can pair environmental and climate advocacy and work. And if advocacy is not your thing, just environmental work and going outside and understanding why we place such a value on this and why we should care with all of this and who we should support. So I think my advice would be to go out, talk to other people, make those connections, and just experiment and find where you're interested so you can take the inspiration from others like you and others not like you and push it forward into what you want to do with this and where you feel you can make the most change.
Of course. And what it seems like what you're saying here and in all the and all the other previous questions has been a lot about being bold and being proud of who you are, what you've done, and what you've been through. Mm-hmm. Is that about right?
Yeah, definitely. I would say everybody has their own narrative and their own story to tell. It's very unique to you. This applies to adults too, not just youth. And I think that bridging that concern that you have or those nerves you have and sharing that even if it just starts with a simple conversation with someone you haven't talked to before or a community member, sharing your perspective and your point of view is so fulfilling because you feel like you are starting to make a difference or you're enlightening someone else. And it definitely has this chain reaction where others will want to share their own story. And then soon enough, you have an entire community or region who all has these shared lived experiences and are looking to come together to battle climate change and advocate for change at an even larger level. So I definitely would say, like you were saying, be bold and own your story in terms of this, and then take that, find others, and just keep going. Like, there's always a next step and there's always something more you can do. And I think that's also, it's a bit scary for a lot of people involved in climate, is it's such a looming topic right now. You don't really know what's going to happen next if people don't act now. But there's so much encouragement in finding others like you that it turns into a very fulfilling career when you can find something that you know you will make change in, and you know that there will be years and years of telling other stories. That's my interest, in telling other people's stories to make other people care and to start this chain reaction of just making sure that everybody is taking all that they can to advocate for climate change and for climate action at a local, regional, or anything beyond level.
Yeah, that sounds really amazing. So thank you so much, Ella, for all of this and for sharing with us the story that you have to tell. It's been really amazing.
Thank you so much for having me, Ryan. This has been great.
And like, I knew from even the first speech that you gave that what you've achieved and what you're going to achieve is a lot.
And from the moment that I met you at the summit, there were so many students that came up to me with their own interests and their own passions and their own connect. They were trying to all connect to the story that I told. And I think that that definitely speaks to what I've been trying to emphasize this entire time, and that even my story or your story or anybody's story, there's always some connection point to those that have a shared interest as you, and telling those, you form that cohesiveness that you need to really start a movement and to really propel it forward to the next step.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of hope. I think there's a lot of hope.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Ella. And that's it for the 30th episode of A Change at the Chance. I hope you learned something, and I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you. Bye.